go.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Andy. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for giving me the privilege to speak to you guys this morning, Jim. I'm thinking back to the last time I had the hour to share with you. I had about 90 days of sobriety, and I was a cautionary tale in every respect. I said no to being asked, and the chairperson convinced me that we don't say no to Alcoholics Anonymous when we're asked to share, but she did bring her young teenage kids to that meeting. At kind of, I feel, to point out the reference point of what you don't want to end up like, if you can, it can keep consuming alcohol and whatever recreational drugs were on the table for her kids. And what I remember about that experience was it went worse than I thought it could have gone. And that was in large part because I had a lot of experience as far as stories about how all of it went wrong. And I didn't have any strength and hope to share with you gentlemen like I do today. But, that's what I should be evolved from, and not pointed out that in 7.5 years I haven't built a single hospital in Africa, and you're gonna pan me. I could never live up to that, and I know Alcoholics Anonymous is a series of imperfect people. We're like herding cats. And there's always going to be critics. I'm glad that you guys have come today to give me an hour to share with you, and hopefully have an open mind. I am an imperfect man. I am flawed, and my program is imperfect as well. I'm going to share with you a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I don't want to give you a drunk log, but I think it's important to qualify in some respect that so I am the real deal. And I was called by this substance early. I mean, on I am not somebody who will give you this nature versus nurture argument. I know there was no honeymoon period for me in alcohol. I had one drink, and it was on. There was something there. I had a tolerance, and it was like a gate opened, of what it did for me. It was, powerful. And the doors that opened of having, being able to have a confidence that came in my being and voice, other kids, because we were a precocious bunch that would drink and start to feel it and not want anymore. I took to it, and I liked the effect. I liked what it did, and at, from I was really young the first time I had a sip of a beer. My father shared his beer with me, and I thought it tasted horrible. But I understood from watching the adults on the weekends and when they would get home from work, this is what they did. This was their go-to substance, and I knew there was something there, the gaiety that would come over them. At a cocktail party, kids are very observant. They watch what's going on. And, I thought a lot about amassing some of this stuff and waiting for everybody to be out of the house and sitting down to see what it could do, and only, I know you guys can relate of having a devious mind like that of doing that, so I sat down, and that a preteen doing that. And I got sick. I drank too much of it, and in true alcoholic fashion, I couldn't wait to do it again. And I couldn't wait to share with the cool kids in school what I had found. Back then it was what alcohol did for me, but before what it did to me and what it took from me, those early days. And there were drugs involved, the stuff I was into at such an early age. I know this is AA. I'm gonna respect the traditions and not talk a lot about drugs, but I was doing it all back then. There is a great deal of luck that of me being around today. There was no fentanyl, there was no heroin, there was no, I couldn't get my hands on anything that was, would have killed me, but alcohol was my first love. I loved that stuff. And I was a kid that, I loved to go to other kids' house and get into the liquor cabinet while they were, preoccupied in doing something stronger. I very much felt like an outcast because, alcohol, I didn't care so much about the other stuff over time because it got in the way of my drinking. And I was somebody that liked the wacky tobacco stuff, but I always I was content to drink and smoke weed and if things got bad enough and troubled enough doing that, I watched enough people go down the drain that had a lot more brains and talent than I did. And I left that town pretty much at 18. I don't know what happened to any of those people, but unless they got sober, they likely went nowhere or they ended up in the gutter. I know that that's what this disease does, whether it's alcohol or drugs. You guys taught me pretty early on that you get locked up, you get sobered up, or you get covered up. Those are our three fates. And that's that. I've had ample experience with having my freedom taken away. Maybe some of you haven't gotten there. To me, thank God for that, because that was the only thing that stopped me. I did not have the power anymore to stop myself. If I got to where Bill Wilson was, where he was hiding bottles from himself, I had been sober about a year, and I was still finding bottles around the house. Anything I could do to try to keep me from me. And I couldn't I just I couldn't stop. I don't know how many people get to the point where their liver's failing. My liver was enlarged, and the gravity of my doctor's face of telling me if I kept drinking, it was going to kill me, and not being able to stop for really one day. And thinking back to the times where I could put together a few days, my best thinking was that, if I could stop for 2 days and somehow that could turn into 2 weeks, my best will marshaling discipline from somebody that had more than most people. My father was a Marine. He raised me with a knowledge, a work ethic. He very early on, he told me, Andrew, you're not as smart as those people. You are going to have to get there first and work. You can't afford to be taking a lot of time off. If you want to get ahead and get into the mix of things. I always had, for a long time, some kind of job or some kind of business. I was always doing something, with my time, to try to be productive. I think back to there were periods, like 2008 was a bad time. If the larger economy was in trouble, usually I was, in trouble as well, I'll tell you, Warren Buffett said you don't have to do a lot of things right in life as long as you don't do too many things wrong. And he was talking about starting out in life. And if you started drinking and getting high as early as I did, you probably had, a lot of things that weren't all that great coming out of the gate. I think today, some of the people that I work with that don't seem a lot smarter than me, but they tested better back in the day, and that's really what it is about. I think of the trouble that I have with the career that I have of getting back into it with the legal wranglings that I have to overcome. It's difficult. What I'm going to be sharing with you, I can't share where I'm at with recovery without sharing God. And I know that has been an element of criticism for me with this meeting. Those guys aren't here today, but I have been told by somebody in this room that I'm killing newcomers when I bring God in here. And I know I don't know why I've been singled out for this. I mean, at least that's the way it feels to me. We I've, I that is what this is to me. We go through the steps with a sponsor. To me, all of it does is get you connected to God, and that third step of putting my life in His care. There are many that do it better than I do, that have more humility than I do. I've had the privilege of working with some pretty intelligent people. I hate thinking that they've got, less pride than I do for all of their accomplishments. But if you're an alcoholic, you understand at some point that this disease centers in your mind. And if that is true, then we're all subject to delusion of some kind, of somewhat, of the swelled head, of perceived injustice to us. I feel like I've been boycotted a lot of the times by people, but our literature tells us our troubles are of our own making. I hate thinking that sometimes, but I know, that's the reality. So I've heard that we are people seeking a spiritual solution. And what it really is that plagues us is that we have a God-sized hole. We've filled with alcohol, but there's all sorts of other things. If you put the plug in the jug and you don't find a power greater than yourself, then it becomes money, whatever, relationships, a multitude of things that take the place of that. I what I did to what we did to ourselves, searching. And the worst manifestation of what we do with self, the self-pity, I thank God today that I don't want to check out. I'm not waiting for anything to happen outside of what I'm doing with recovery. I've learned that if I'm to find peace, I've got to find the will, I want to do the will of a loving God. And I wish I was more consistent about wanting to do the things that please him instead of what pleases myself. I am a material man at times, and can get caught up in wanting to have ambition instead of reflecting what our primary purpose is. I tended to think that I wanted more out of life than helping another alcoholic achieve sobriety. I have skills I want to use. It's been a slow process of coming to embracing that to the extent that I do. I work with corrections correspondents. I've been doing that early on. I had the message from you guys that go not drinking, going to meetings yet. That's where we all start, and you get come around to consciousness that way, but to serve. I decided I wanted to work with guys that were incarcerated because that had been such an impactful experience for me. So I deal with I write letters to guys who sometimes murderers that they all got something in common that they committed in large part a crime that got them locked up under the influence. Most of them get out at some point. They pass the law after 15 years. You could be released, and so I've experienced that. Some, people that you thought be locked up forever, getting out, and it has been a great experience by the grace of God. I'm not locked up. I don't know what kind of person you were when you drank. I was somebody that was increasingly antisocial, and I just could not keep the handle on it after the first drink. I was a blackout drunk. I don't remember a great deal of the last 6 months of my drinking. And I was a little bit like a werewolf that. I liked to start drinking after 5 o'clock, which is the complete antithesis to how I am today. I like to go to bed early. I like to get up early, and I really don't do nights. I tend to fellowship with people that are the same and come alive in the morning and are morning people. So it's a difference. I'd like to share something with you while we have the balance of the meeting of what spoken to me in our literature, in our book. And what I want to do is help to inform you and not influence you, and to try and catalog what I have learned over the many years since I came to AA, and I don't mean to say that in a prideful way. I'm just as annoyed as you are when you go to a meeting and somebody's got to tell you they had 20 years, and as a footnote, they've got 6 months. That is a lack of humility. But I have pride and sometimes have to tell you how long I've been around too. The story that I'd like to share with you is called Me an Alcoholic. I try and stay out of the back of the book for the most part, but this is something that stood out to me. There this guy, like us, couldn't stop. And he went to a doctor, an honest doctor that said, I'm out of ideas. We've tried everything. Why don't you take your ass to Alcoholics Anonymous? Maybe they can help you because none of us can. So he goes to a meeting and he says, here I found an ingredient that had been lacking in any other effort I had made to save myself. Here was power. Here was power to live to the end of any given day. Power to have the courage to face the next day. Power to have friends. Power to help people. Power to be sane. Power to stay sober. How many of you been certified crazy like I have? That was 7 years ago, many AA meetings ago, and I haven't had a drink during those 7 years. Moreover, I am deeply convinced that so long as I continue to strive in my bumbling way toward the principles I first encountered in the earlier chapters of this book, this remarkable power will continue to flow through me. What is this power? With my AA friends, all I can say that it's a power greater than myself. If pressed, all I can do is follow the psalmist who said it long before me. Be still and know that I am God. And you guys hit me with this. I don't, I'm not going to share a lot of religious overtones with you because I don't want, not out of shame or embarrassment, or I don't want to put anybody off that might be in a long evolutionary process like I had to get here. And when I came in here, you guys told me, when I had it, because I was a God hater too. You told me if God runs you out of here, Andy, and you be one of us, the alcohol bring you back in. And and that was the prophecy that came true that you told me. I hope everybody, I want to give everybody room to be able to find it themselves. I was at an in-person meeting, which I don't get to all that often, where they were deliberating that somebody's sponsor took them down to the beach, and they were that the tide was their higher power, and I didn't impose my, my beliefs or values on them. I'll let them come to that. If they ask me my opinion, I'll tell them. But I let you come to God on your own terms and find, that power. I think that's important, and what is largely missing with all of us, to come to that place. And then God's either in charge or he isn't. I shared yesterday that it's the process of understanding there is one who has all power. At some point, I like to think I've got 10% of it. It's not easy for somebody as willful as me to come to that conclusion and have that awe and respect, which is the fear of God. I have the discipline of getting up early. I get into our literature. I get into the big book and the book that inspired the big book, and I pray and I meditate. And that process began with you pointing out that you ought to start on page 85 to 88, whatever that is in there, where it goes over step 10 and 11. And that's what I try and do. I used to be a bit more disciplined about it, where I would write the date on the top of the page and take step 10 as a written inventory before I went to bed. And it talks about that, going over how your day went, and then asking God for forgiveness and whatever changes that need to be made, ask and praying for that. And I do that. I'm recently coming to respect people that I've been walking with God a lot longer than I have that, you know, that find the relationship with him accommodated in other places other than the discipline, the rigid discipline I had of getting on my knees, which I still do. But, you know, I respect it. Maybe you walk in the woods. Maybe that's how you convene with your higher power. You know, I'm too narrow-minded about how it's got to be. You know, you know, I guess 10, 11, and 12, and 3. You know, I try and do on a daily basis. And praying for 6 and 7, I shared yesterday about the profanity. You know, that's something that I still struggle with, and pride. You know, I don't, you know, I don't want to rest on my laurels or pat myself on the back, but compared to where I was, you know, 8 years ago, it is. It is night and day, you know, and I'm you know, I'm not a sinless person, but I sin a lot less than I used to, you know, to borrow from religion. You know, I think this is the main difference between, you know, people that are putting the plug in the jug and going to meetings and those that have some sense that have been rocketed into the fourth dimension, you know. I have more of a comfortability about talking about what God means to them and what God's doing in their life, you know. I don't understand why that needs to be excluded from Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my way didn't work. You know, my best thinking on my best day got me here. You guys told me that. You know, sometimes I need to be reminded of that. You know, that the people that God has used throughout history are a collection of flawed, imperfect people, men, women, you know, we're not, you know, the MIT moral saints, you know, that, you know, that's the alcoholic I am. I'm not a saint. I continually see the need to be consistent. God's either in charge or he isn't. And yeah, you know, nobody stays sober on knowledge or fear of the consequences of the next drink. You know, I'll tell you that, you know, the obsession has been removed from me. If I was chalking everything up that I wanted in the beginning, I mean, I was willing to settle for that. You know, and just let me never drink again and be free from that, you know. And that's, you know, the opening blessing that I got. At every step of the way, God has shown me something better than I thought. You know, if I had been really letting him take the reins, I can't imagine where I would be. You know, it would be better. You know, I used to come to this meeting every day, and I had another fellowship that I also went to, and there was a death of somebody I was close to. So I started going back to that fellowship in the morning. It's why I don't see you guys during the week anymore, and you see me sometimes on the weekend. But you know, I've always respected you guys, and I've always. I've been comfortable sharing here, you know, even when the message has been jumbled and chaotic. You know, I always respected that you gave me the opportunity to share. Even when you might not have liked what I had to say, you always showed me love and tolerance, and you let me know that's our code. I think I found AA so early, but I didn't stay, and I felt a lot of the times that what I wanted from Alcoholics Anonymous, I realized that it could no longer give me, and that was coming here as a kid, and there was fellowship of other precocious guys that found their way to an AA meeting. And had the privilege of understanding this is what your problem is. I would fit in right in about 10 different fellowships. I've got the stories, but alcohol was my first love. If God is the solution, I really don't need to bother going anywhere else. And I put all of it on the shelf today anyway. It doesn't mean I don't have other selfish ambitions I struggle with, but I'm grateful to be a recovering alcoholic today. The seed that was planted with me early on. I remember being in my bed wishing that I had never been to AA, after those first few meetings, because I knew my drinking was ruined. What a tortured existence it is to have a head full of all this and be drinking, a belly full of alcohol and a head full of AA, as you told me. I found myself and still reading the literature. How insane is that? Being drinking and reading the big book. You're really living apart from that, And I found if I could just blot out that intolerable, that's what I'm gonna try to do. I had resigned to living as an active alcoholic. That is what I was going to do. It's fortunate. All our misfortune it becomes a blessing in time. You stay sober long enough, it all works out that way. The worst calamities, that's where our history is a guide and not a jailer of what we get to do, and where else is it going to be used than to point it out to each other? I made the mistake of doing that too. Here's how you adjust with that. I know that I get on your nerves, you get on my nerves, but we're not a lot of good to a lot of other people with what we've been through than in recovery. I know I know that if I can help you not step in the potholes I did, I'm doing something that pleases God, and I'll end, just to just tell you that I'm grateful to be sober, to be with you guys. I'm an imperfect man. I hope I said something that you could to take with you today, and that was worth your time. And I'll end a little early with that. Thank you.